ED214 Gaming Podcast is for mature audiences only. Any videos, music, or entertainment not originating from DD214 Gaming is used and covered under Section 107 of the Copyright Act of 1976, also known as fair use. Opinions expressed are our own and do not represent any DoD or U.S. government entities as a whole. This podcast is for entertainment purposes only. Viewer and listener discretion is advised. You are no longer alone now, because we have you.
Good morning, everybody.
We had to do the big booty waffles today. That's right.
John, are we on Facebook right now?
Oh yeah.
I don't see us.
Oh yeah. Brandon Cooper.
It literally just popped up. Look at that. Okay, got it.
Happy Memorial Day, everybody.
Happy Memorial Day weekend.
Happy Memorial Day.
Oh man.
Unofficial start to summer. You know, every year.
So exactly.
Oh yeah,
you guys got
big booby waifus and barbecues is what happens this weekend, according to Brandon.
Wait, say that again.
Big booby waifus and fucking barbecues.
Of course. I like that. That's good.
Yeah, I hope everybody's feeling good today. I know I'm feeling good. I got the energy of a walrus today.
Wait, is that good energy or bad energy?
I mean,
I'm not sure. Have you ever seen a fucking walrus? They're pretty fucking slow and lazy.
Until
they go for the kill, right? And then they like,
and then all of a sudden they just turn into a fucking monstrous fucking, yeah. It's ridiculous. Like, they're so cute and just ridiculously fucking slow and stupid, it seems. And then when they're gonna kill you, they're gonna kill you.
Don't those things like tear like seals apart and shit? Like,
oh, yeah.
Is that because like walruses are they're omnivores, right? They eat plant and freaking meat, right? Like, they're like us.
I'm pretty sure. And what's funny too,
that now I've got to look this fucking up.
Now I feel this way because yesterday, right, we bought a splash pad for the house.
Okay.
You know, we're just okay. Let's get a splash pad for the kids. We washed our cars at the same time. I failed to read the part where it was 15 feet long and about 4 inches thick of water, right?
Okay.
Yeah, it's still draining outside right now.
Oh, shit.
That's yeah, it's I am tired. My arms, I want to rip them right off. And I'm just, I can't do it, man.
Yes, you're going to make it, John. You're going to make it.
I'm going to make it today. I mean,
just a couple more miles. Just a couple more miles down the road, dude. We're almost there. Like,
yeah, yeah. I mean, I have to because this, I mean, you know, as you guys, we're going to say it right now. Next week's episode is going to be pre-recorded. We're going to find a way to make it through because I'm going to be sleeping on the beach with the Girl Scouts. My dog, that sounds so bad. I'm going to be sleeping at the beach with my family for a Girl Scouts event. and I'm not going to have any power, electricity, or nothing like that. So this is going to be very interesting. I'm going to be out in the wild, in the beach, and we're getting all our camping stuff ready. I'm just like, holy shit,
man. How long has you been camping?
I went camping in PA right before COVID.
Okay. Yeah, right
before COVID, that was actually pretty fun. That might have happened. I think that might have been like the early days of the podcast or something.
What do you got, Joe?
So they primarily clams and mussels off the seabed floor.
Okay.
And every once in a while, small seals.
Nice.
See, here in the Army, we have an old cadence called killing the baby seals. So we're already antagonistic towards seals. So we give our walruses like all credit where credit's due. Anyone who takes out seals.
And we're not talking about the seal that sings Kiss from a Rose either. I'm just saying.
Just saying, man. Just saying. We have a little bit of animosity with the seals. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
What can I say? What can I say?
Yeah, you guys do anything fun this week? Anything exciting?
Okay, so at the risk of sounding like I'm doing my own like midlife crisis thing that we were talking about with Joe a couple weeks ago, guess what the fuck I signed up to do, and I'm going to start doing it today.
Oh fuck! What is it?
I injured a fucking softball. Softball. Yeah.
That is the epitome of older white male fucking older midlife crisis dude, right
older,
there.
Yeah, older white dude that like, you know, has an athletic, you know, somewhat of an athletic background, robble, dark side. I don't fuck.
But your shit don't fucking move the way it used to. You're going to be hurting fucking tomorrow after practice today.
That's the thing is like, I'm really curious how this is going to go. Cause like today is a practice. And then every week starting next week, for the entire season, we play two games a week. So it's you play back to back games. So it's two hours every week. And so like me and Nikki have already been in the gym. I started running with my oldest daughter while she rides her bike. We got some hills kind of like over by our house, like an old. It's what used to be a golf course. It's no longer a golf course, but the paths are all still there. And yeah, so like I've been doing that, but it's like. Yeah, we're going to find out if 10 years of playing baseball as a youth like transfers to like 25 years later because I haven't played in like 25 years. So
yeah.
I was in a softball league like in like 2006 or 7 maybe, and we did it for like one or two seasons, and then that was the last time I picked up my glove. Was like it's been just shy of 20 years.
Interesting. Like, that's pretty cool. Yeah. That's pretty cool to be honest with you.
We'll see how it goes.
I was looking into like because we have like baseball leagues here in my county, and I was looking into the schedules, and I mean with me starting school in January, fingers crossed, it's like I don't think I'm going to be able to make that schedule, especially since I'm going like to a whole nother state for school, right. So it just wouldn't work.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, I mean, with that, definitely. And you don't want to run yourself too thin, John.
Yeah. No, I'm already, like, right now, we had a conversation about this too, Squilini, a while ago, how I wanted to get more work. But then, you know, you told me, you know, because we were talking about the flag for removal, which you own, and I need you to, I want to see you put action in it. Why aren't you and Brandon Cleary doing something?
I need to get with Brandon actually because fuck, we sit there and we get together and play fucking Fortnite at least once or twice a week. So,
I mean, that's content.
Brandon, hit me up.
Just saying, just throwing it out there. That's easy content right there.
Yeah, you got.
Usually when we do that, I'm on my fucking gaming channel. So,
yeah,
you record an hour a week, freaking edit it down to like freaking 20 or 30 minutes, dude. Yep. Like, wham bam thank you ma'am dude, like that's content.
You could put this on your resume now, okay? You got experience now, Squilini.
But see, part of the issue is like what my vision is for flag for removal. I don't think I could have somebody that's still active in there because there might be issues on that side
depending on it only depends on what their job is and what the scope of their job is. Like I was Don't forget, I was active, and I was an instructor at an NCO academy in the U.S. Army.
I talked a hell of shit.
I talked all kinds of shit, bro. Because like it had nothing to do. It was all outside and had no bearing or anything on what we did at the fort. You know what I mean? So
yep.
it would only depend on basically how filthy that person's mouth is or what you guys chose to talk about. Basically, that's really yeah. And like there were only I think if John, correct me if I'm wrong, we only had to do what, like a couple of ninja edits a couple times because of my mouth. Like, and we just got good at going live. We got really.
But remember, most of those edits that we've had to edit were because of technical difficulties, right. Having to restart the show. Squirlini, you've witnessed it. You know, you've been you were a part of it.
We got good at going live. We eventually over as time passed, we got really good at going live. So,
you know, like, with the writer's strike happening, they could do a really good job, like being like, hey, we need something. We need something. Like, hey, we're here.
Well, and that's the thing, like with the writer strikes and shit right now, this is technically prime time to start a podcast or get one up and running, because the content that's coming out of fucking Hollywood and the big fucking media outlets isn't there.
Like the Deadpool news. Did you read the Deadpool news?
No, what did it already film? Is it already wrapped?
No. So there's breaking news right now that due to the writer's strike, Ryan Reynolds is legally banned from improvising anything from the script due to the strike.
Well, basically anything that they do, they have to go direct from the script. There can be no deviations, which heavily
crazy, man.
Yeah, that's like
it's gonna fuck up Deadpool 3.
What they
need to do is just halt fucking production on it until the strike's over.
Like they're doing with everything else.
Here's the problem with that, though. If you remember what happened last time, there was a strike and everything. Like, a lot of projects ended up dead in the water exactly because of that.
And for example, during that time, during that one writer's strike, was it like 15, 20 years ago, something like that? The show Heroes was on season 2.
Oh, it got kneecapped. It got fucking kneecapped.
You remember that? They
started out like
they continued the show after like 2 years after.
It wasn't the same.
But during the strike, they shut the show down halfway through the season and were just like, yeah, we can't do this anymore. Like,
and that's the thing. Like, a lot of shows have gotten canceled already. And some of the shows that are getting canceled, it just doesn't make fucking sense because they're good fucking shows.
Here's what doesn't make sense. Why can't fucking people get just fucking paid for the goddamn work they fucking do?
Did
we not all discover this during fucking COVID? Is that not the reason? People keep saying they can't find workers, right? And it's like the only people that can't find workers are the ones that aren't fucking paying people. You know what I mean? Like, it's like, it's like, yep. Everybody's gonna learn that lesson during COVID. Like, motherfuckers, like, we don't have to go to a job anymore. We can just sit at our houses and fucking make the same amount of money, generally speaking, unless we choose to. And that's like just pay your fucking people, dude. Just pay them. Like,
well, and that's you know, one of the things that I will say, and this is a shout out to an actor during this strike. So Tom Ellis, who plays the title character in Lucifer,
okay,
at the beginning of the strike, he actually visited the writers and brought them food and drinks and stuff outside of the Netflix headquarters.
Yep. Weezer played too.
Well, the Screen Actors Guild is about to go on strike in solidarity now. Like, they're like the fucking,
because the actors are even like, what the fuck's going on here? Like,
the industry is about to fucking tank, dude. Like,
yeah.
Like
when the writers are striking, the actors aren't getting paid either because they don't have any fucking work going on.
In a situation like Ryan Reynolds, where it's like, it's fucking Deadpool 3. Yes, some of the lines that are already written might be good as written, but it's fucking Ryan Reynolds, and we know Deadpool like loves to fucking improvise and mouth vomit, dude. That's fucking Deadpool. Like, that you can't just write Deadpool,
exactly.
You know what I mean? Like, so it's like, that's, you know, that'll fucking just tear. Like, point being, pay your fucking people, because you guys are doing it again. Mm-hmm. And again, greed keeps fucking winning in this country. Like, It blows my fucking mind. Like, you know, the movie Wall Street with Michael Douglas was not supposed to be a fucking like a how-to guide, asshole.
Yeah.
Okay. He was a bad guy. Yeah. He was a bad person.
I just want to say too that like, it's so crazy to me because like after the first writer's strike, a lot of these streaming services came up. It was almost like, okay, well, you got your money now. We're going to do something completely different where you guys don't get paid as much and all this stuff.
And then now they're not getting paid again.
And now they're not getting paid again. And we're and I don't think this goes for video games too, right?
It's like when everybody got bailed out in 2008. And I know we don't like getting political about this shit, but everybody got bailed out in 2008. All these banks and giant fucking too big to fail fucking corporations, and they just turned around and fucking squeezed the fucking thumb screws on the fucking on our society again. And they've been doing it ever since. Like nothing changed. If anything, it got worse and it escalated. Like that, like that's fucking people banks. Are getting fed the fuck up with this shit.
Morgan, Wells Fargo, AIG.
I mean, for the thing is, the video game industry does get hit when these strikes happen because the same writers that write the scripts for the fucking TV shows and the movies are in the same union writing the dialogue for the cutscenes and.
It can be considered crossing the picket line if you fucking just because you're not writing for a fucking movie or TV show doesn't mean a fucking dumbing dick. Like if you're in that union and you're striking, you ain't fucking working, dude. That's what unions that is the whole point of a fucking union is solidarity with the workplace basically.
And so they fucking work.
They do work, and that's the whole point of like the solidarity is when you're not getting what you should be getting for the fucking work that you do. Y'all fucking stand up together and say, you can give us more or we're fucking out of here. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yes, sir.
Like unions really get a bad rap in the States these days. Like, I don't know how the fuck the business industry and these major corporations figured out a way to convince the American public that unions are bad. Unions are the reason we don't have fucking child workers and the reason we have 8-hour fucking work days and 40-hour work weeks. That is unions are the reason we have all that shit in the fucking first place.
Like, well, that's like, you know, and to point into another direction of on the union speak topic and everything, fucking Starbucks. Starbucks is closing a lot of locations in fucking New York because the workers are trying to unionize and Starbucks is like, go fuck yourself.
Which is technically illegal to do that because that's considered freaking antitrust. Like you're freaking... Well, it's one of those things where like that's how they're just getting around it by shutting the stores down.
Yeah.
And that's like that is such bad faith on the part of the company. That is such bad. You can see that's how much they actually give a fuck about their employees.
Yeah.
Through all the bullshit, all the fucking the flowery talk, they don't give a fuck about you any more than the army gave a fuck about us when we were in. Like that. Like, do not trust your fucking corporations, okay? Because like
exactly.
They will fuck you every time. Every time. Sorry, Joe. Sorry. Go.
No, but see, that's the exact thing is, you know, it's bad because people know their worth are trying to unionize to fucking get their worth out of it. And corporate America is like, no, we're just going to shut down all our stores in that area.
Now you can have any. Now you can have Starbucks.
Yeah.
Meh. Okay, fucking Roger that, bro. Like, you know what I'm saying?
The people
like,
that were going to Starbucks will just go to fucking Dunkin' Donuts then.
Dude, I mean, it baffles my mind when I see, and this is one of those things where I do get a little bit nerdy about sometimes. I get nerdy about when I look up things like corporate profit and the profit margins. And for the amount of money they could have, let's say like for example, the amount of money they could have paid the writers in Hollywood, they wouldn't even be taking like 10% off of their bottom line. Like for all that extra profit they get, they wouldn't even be taking like 10% off of it. You are still excessively fucking doing well, like excessively over the top. Like your cup has runneth over many times over. Okay. You know what I'm saying? Like, and it's still not enough for these greedy fucks. Just still not the fuck enough.
Absolutely.
And that's kind of where like I'll have to stop there before my blood pressure fucking gets too high. Like that's about like
we could get into like literally the only gaming shit we have today.
That's okay, because it actually is kind of like, it's kind of fitting that this would, that it would come up on this day too. Like,
Lainey.
So I'm going to touch on this because the only thing worthwhile from the gaming world, yeah, right to work, Brandon. That's what it is. Yeah,
right to work, aka like this is like this state loves fucking corporations. You know, if you're in a right to work state, like mm-hmm. yeah. Yeah.
So the only thing worth in this is me and John slightly talked about it while you were grabbing your coffee, Jay, mm-hmm. was from the PlayStation showcase earlier this week.
They actually
Sony announced it was, I mean, I'm glad to see some more Spider-Man 2 footage.
It was the best thing they've done in 5 fucking years. I'll tell you that much.
But the one thing that pissed me off with it was we're going to get another PlayStation handheld in a sense. However, it's not a true fucking handheld like the PSP or the PS Vita was. You're still required to have a PS5, and it's literally the new DualSense 5 controller with a 8-inch tablet in the middle, so you can remote play your games from anywhere as long as you've got an internet connection from your fucking PS5. And in my opinion, that is not the route to go. We've seen how Nintendo handled the fucking, we're going to give you a handheld and a fucking home console all in one fucking setup. And honestly, these companies need to leave it at, let Nintendo fucking have that crap. Sony, Xbox, y'all are console only market. Stay fucking there.
This was, in my opinion, like my humble opinion, like casual gamer that I am, this was just another year that Sony absolutely fumble fucked the football again.
Yeah, I will
say now,
there was nothing impressive
now
about
the
that.
The only thing that would have made me get this handheld device that Sony's coming out with is if it played PS5 games, even if they were digital-only versions of the games, but you could download them straight to the handheld to play them on the go. But because you have to have an internet connection to connect to your console to be able to remote play them,
that's a whole other layer for me, too.
It's a fucking cash grab. It's a fucking cash grab. I mean, for the love of God, with the PlayStation so far, we've got the PS5. We got replaceable face plates and shit because other companies were making them. And Sony was like, oh shit, we're going to tell all these other companies you can't do this. And we're going to make our own. So that way you could change the color of your fucking PlayStation. Yep. The PSVR, which that, in my opinion, the second generation, why the fuck am I going to pay the exact same price as the fucking console to get the fucking VR headset?
Might as well get the Oculus, the new Quest.
I mean, I still don't understand the concept of like, if I have to have an internet connection to play a game, like what in the actual fuck happens when the internet goes down? You know, like I get, you know, if electricity goes out, typically speaking, electricity goes out, you're just not playing, you know, unless you have a portable device, again, with a portable game, right?
Yes.
But anything released these days that forces you to have a connection, forces you to have some type of internet, anything. That is entirely subject to how that internet, like where the fuck you're at and if the internet works and whatever. If there's a crash, you're fucked and you don't get to play and you don't get to have fun. Like,
and that's where I will go back to fucking Nintendo over and over again.
Yeah.
And they are doing it right.
Yeah.
You are. Yes.
They will never sell me.
You have to have an internet connection to play online modes for their games. But I don't need an internet connection to sit there and play against fucking AI in Mario Kart. I don't need an internet connection to play fucking Zelda. I don't need an internet connection to play Mario. I don't need an internet connection to play fucking Pokemon.
I don't need any of the fucking Nintendo titles.
I don't need a fucking internet connection to do that. Now, I will admit...
the same exact way about digital copies of games. If I don't have a physical copy of something and like there's... Once again, the power goes out, but let's say we got electricity, but we have no internet. All my games are gone now because I don't have any physical copies anymore, right?
Yeah.
Like, it's the same concept.
So that's where I will say again, Nintendo does it right. Even if I have the digital copy is installed on my system. Even without an internet connection, I can still play the fucking game. I can't update any patches that they might release during that couple hour period or whatever that it happens. I can't update the system itself. There's a few things you can't do without the internet, but at the same time, I can still play my fucking Nintendo Switch games without a fucking internet connection.
Yep.
I can't play Xbox games. You can't even play single player fucking Xbox games without an internet connection now.
Yeah. You know, but in the positive with all this stuff, Spider-Man looked fucking fantastic. Like the new Spider-Man game looks good. And I'm not going to say too much about it because I know what Jay is going to say, but Snake Eater was my favorite Metal Gear Solid game. And the fact that they're bringing it back in H and like full, they're like, they restructured the game from the ground up. But I do have a theory that since Hideo Kojima is not a part of this, okay, he's not a part of this. And the title is no, that they took the three out of the title. So it's no longer Metal Gear Solid 3 Snake Eater. It's Metal Gear Solid Delta. And for those who know, Jay, what does Delta mean?
Well, the letter D.
Like it means change.
Oh, are you talking about like the Greek letter Delta?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
It means change. And so there's a major theory that we're going to get some changes in this Metal Gear Solid. One good thing, though, is that the original cast is coming back in.
Okay.
I'm pretty excited for it. Maybe. What I'm not happy about is that these cash-grabbing motherfuckers are re-releasing all the original ones in a master collection exclusively for PlayStation.
Bro, like can but we just get some new, can we just get some new fucking video games? Like I'm like,
it's funny you say that because I got one for you right now that we've been talking about that had been having a lot of backdraft, and I think it's fitting to talk about it during Memorial Day.
Agreed.
We have a game here called 6 Days in Fallujah. We've covered this game before. We've talked about it many times. But yep. Now we have actual gameplay footage, brand new gameplay footage that was released 4 days ago from veteran streamer Mad Dog. Let me get this right.
Is he doing some of the beta on this?
Yeah. So this is his name is Devil Dog Gamer. He is an Iraq War veteran, okay. and in this video, I'm going to put the link right here. So any of you guys who are interested, you can see the link yourself. He breaks down in the video the different areas and how realistic the settings are. Okay, he talks about how when you go, and you'll see it soon, you know, the AI in this game is smarter than what you would expect, okay? Weaponry is of time. He said, in some instances, you'll be lucky if you even had an ACOG on your weapon during that time, but most of the time you were, you know, running iron sights
or CCOs probably. Yeah. For a lot of the line units probably. Yes. And that would be dependent on where those particular line units were stationed typically. You know what I mean? It just depends on who gets what and when, you know what I mean? All that stuff trickles down eventually. But I remember my first deployment was June of 2011 to June of 2012. I had a fucking, we called it the Dragon Slayer, man. I had a fucking M16. You know, and fucking iron sights. I had iron sights. I had an iron sight M16 in fucking 2011 as a mechanic. So like all the way down the road. It takes a while for those weapons to get all the way through the army and then support MOSs. So
what we have here, we're about to see something really cool here. Now over here, he's now, is this tactical?
Yes.
Now look, he's looking in, but do you notice something about the room? It's dark as fuck. Right, in a real life situation, how realistic is this?
Yeah, it could entirely. There's places where there's not going to be electricity, so you could be going from a bright sunshiny day to almost an entirely like darkened room. So you'd have
guys,
like,
electricity. The windows aren't that big on a lot of these huts and houses.
You see, he's got a fucking tack light on his fucking. On that's entirely realistic. A lot of guys have what they call like a pressure switch on the, like where you hold the barrel of your weapon and you can just tap it and it'll turn your fucking tack light or your fucking laser on. And like, that's what a pressure switch is for. So like this is that I would say that's about as realistic as you're going to get in a video game as far as like transitioning from fucking daylight to darkness. You know what I mean? Yeah. That's pretty much what it is. You know what I mean?
Yep. And they are showing off like these little mouse holes on the roof too.
Well, you see like how that light's just fucking sitting there attached to some fucking rebarb at that point. That's I've seen that in some fucking huts too.
Yeah. And then you got the little tactical mouse holes for the enemy to kind of just shoot at you there and stuff like that. But they worked really hard on this game.
You can tell as long as the mechanics are kind of sound and free flowing, like I could see this being a lot of fun to play. Like, cause you have to stay probably like somewhat tactical the entire time.
Now, the most exciting thing about this, boys, it's a 4-player co-op.
Interesting. That is cool. So you guys get to run a squad basically.
Yep. And it's coming to console. It's coming to PC and they're working on cross play right now. So
let's get into the nitty gritty then. Like what's the holdup and what's going on? That's keeping this kind of at bay right now.
From what I've been reading, a lot of people are arguing about OPSEC. A lot of people are arguing about realism, PTSD, trauma. But I think that it's time that video games start telling
stories.
You know, I think
I'd be really interested to see who's actually complaining about that.
Yeah, we're tired. Look, we're tired of the Call of Duties. We're tired of the Battlefields. You know. Battlefield Bad Company was probably one of the best games I ever played in my fucking life.
Agreed. And that game's like 20 fucking years old now. You know what I mean?
Like, well, that's the thing. Like, it was Battlefield Bad Company 2 was really the last fucking FPS game that I enjoyed. And that was because you had to, like, when you played online, you had to have comms because it was a squad-based tactical fucking game.
Right.
And I had buddies, most of them, God rest their souls, or who knows what happened to them. All of us were military, whether it was U.S., British, fucking, you know, we were from all over the fucking globe, the guys I always squatted up with. But we literally, with Bad Company 2, would go in, and anytime I would get on and they wouldn't be on and I'd go to play, if I'd be thrown into a squad with nobody having fucking comms, I'd back out. Because you could not reliably play that game without comms. And
SOCOM too. Like, I remember SOCOM being like that as well. Except I don't remember SOCOM being multiplayer, and if it was, I'd never played it.
So SOCOM 2 was really the beginning of PlayStation having an online presence.
Yeah.
Because with SOCOM 2, it came in a package where it came with a router for your PS2 that you plugged into it so you could hardwire to play online. But even SOCOM 2, it wasn't as like, you didn't have to use as much tactic as, like, say, this game looks like you need to use. Or even Bad Company 2.
This game basically looks like exactly how I already play Call of Duty. You know what I mean? Like, it's basically like, it's like almost.
And they set the standard for that. You know what I mean? Like, Call of Duty definitely set the standard with that. You know, with the, you know, center reticles. I mean, actually, that was pretty cool with the call out.
Yeah. Yeah, I really like what I'm seeing. I'm curious to see like how much longer it's going to be in development and if they're going to put it on like PS4 maybe, or if it's just going to be
it's coming Xbox One, PS4, Series X, PS5 and PC. So it's
this is one I might actually like spend a little bit of time on and just see how it rolls and see how it goes, and I'm sure we can probably get together and play this one together. You know what I mean?
If the game stays this well, I might actually pay for a fucking FPS game.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. It looks like they took enough time. I'm very curious to see the actual like reviews. This everything you're showing right now, John, looks clean. It definitely looks clean. Like, and that's if so, yeah, I mean, it's, I like the smart AI, you know, we, uh, we have never shied away from AI like being a little bit smarter. You know what I mean? It's like I'd rather have AI that gives me a little enough of a challenge, but doesn't, you know, it's not overwhelmingly like kicking my ass every time. You know what I mean?
Yes,
but like,
they just released an update in May 12th. There is still no release date. There's still no release date.
That's okay. Keep it like that and put out a fucking finished product, please.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think this is going to be a fresh new game. I think it's going to be more story driven more than anything, with a linear into the stories of Call of Duty.
There was some shit that happened that went down in Fallujah during that time frame. And you know, we've shown on this podcast former Staff Sergeant David Bellavia's Medal of Honor speech. He was a veteran of Fallujah, and this was obviously showing Marines. They have like Anbar Province, you know what I mean? Like, and that's, there's a lot of stories from those days that, you know, freaking they'll turn your short and curlies on your ball sack white, dude. Freaking,
yeah,
you know what I mean? Where it's like, yeah, you like, we all like to, you know, daydream once in a while and imagine being in a firefight, you know, fighting for each other and fighting for our lives. But the reality is, like, it can be fucking abjectly terrifying when it's fucking happening all around you, and when the sky is falling and everything's raining fire and blood, dude, like, it ain't no fucking joke.
Yeah. You know what I mean? And the last thing I have about this game is that they actually have videos on their website, which is 6days.com.
Okay.
You go on their website, and they actually have videos on real world entry tactics that were developed by real world Marines and who helped develop this game and make it the way that it's supposed to be.
Yeah.
So you can go on their website. They have
enter and clear a room, man. It's fucking battle drill, man. That's one of the main battle drills. Enter and clear a room.
Yeah, that's actually the video that they have up too. How to clear a room. Yeah. So it's very interesting. It's very cool, and I think it serves its purpose for Memorial Day, because we are here. I mean, it's Memorial Weekend.
Sure.
Some people, the official start of summer, even though summer doesn't start.
Unofficial, yeah, it's like the unofficial. So it's like Memorial Day is like the unofficial start, and Labor Day is the unofficial end, right? So it's like, even though they don't fall on the equinoxes, that it's the unofficially, like, it's pretty much all the kiddos are out of school by Memorial Day, and everybody's back in and getting back to the grind by Labor Day. So that's pretty much how it worked out like that.
Yes, I mean, look, we all know, for those who don't know, this all started during the Civil War, which killed more than 600,000 service members, both Union and Confederates, between 61 and 65. There is actually a little controversy over the first national observance of what was then called Decoration Day. It occurred May 30th, 1868, after an organization of Union veterans called for decorating war graves with flowers, which were in bloom. But the practice was already widespread on the local level. In Waterloo, New York, they began a formal observance on May 5th and was later proclaimed to be the holiday's birthplace. In Bowlesburg, Pennsylvania, it's traced its first observance to October 1864, according to the Library of Congress, and women in some Confederate decorated graves before the war's end. David Blight, a Yale history professor, points out that May 1st, 1865, when as many as 10,000 people, many of them black, held a parade, heard speeches, and dedicated the graves of the Union dead in Charleston, South Carolina. A total of 267 Union troops had died at a Confederate prison and were buried in a mass grave. And after the war, members of black churches buried them in individual graves. What happened in Charleston does not have the right to claim to be the first, if that matters, Blight told the Associated Press in 2011. But in 2021, a U.S. Army lieutenant, retired lieutenant colonel, cited the story in the Memorial Day speech in Ohio. The ceremony's organizer turned off his microphone because they said it wasn't relevant to honoring the city's veterans. The city's organizers later resigned.
Yeah, I was going to say the fucking dicks, fucking pussies, dude. Like, if you don't want to repeat history, you have to fucking learn it first. You know what I mean? Like, Jesus Christ, people.
You know, and for some odd reason, it's always been a source of contention, you know.
That's because the fucking South got their fucking asses handed to them, and they've been fucking crying about it and weeping for fucking 150 plus fucking years. Fuck those assholes.
Did you know that in 1869 that the New York Times wrote that the holiday could become a sacrilegious and no longer sacred if it focuses more on pomp, dinners, and oratory?
Interesting.
Isn't it interesting? And I do have something to say about that, too. In 1871, Frederick Douglass feared Americans were forgetting the Civil War's impetus, slavery, when he gave a Decoration Day speech at Arlington National Cemetery. And he said, "We must never forget that the loyal soldiers who rest beneath this sod flung themselves between the nation and the nation's destroyers."
That's right. That's right. Did you hear that? The nation's destroyers. That's why when you raise your right hand and swear on an oath to the Constitution, you're protecting it from all enemies, foreign and domestic. Like, fucking highlight that one, fucking domestic too. All right, you fucking assholes.
Yep. And now what's also very interesting, that Memorial Day has ties to sales and travel. A lot of people travel. The airports are saying that people, just one person, are in the average this year traveling 50 kilometers to their destinations. Whatever 50 kilometers is, I don't know math. But
5 miles. It's 25 miles.
25 miles.
Just a little bit over 25 miles.
Yeah. They're taking vacations that way. And, you know, everyone's having their barbecues. Everyone's pouring one out. And I saw a speech. I'm not going to call nobody's names because I respect the guy. And he said, "This isn't National Barbecue Day." And I just, and no disrespect to you, everyone's got their own opinions about it. Everyone's got their own perspectives. But if that veteran or if that person you're remembering wanted him to be remembered by your fucking barbecues, then by God, we're going to celebrate with barbecues.
Absolutely.
Okay? You know,
I can tell you guys right now, if I croak like right fucking now, you better party your fucking asses off. Okay. Like that is like, I will haunt you if you don't.
If you croak right now while we're live on the podcast,
this
will be the fucking final podcast, because we're never going to be able to top one of the fucking hosts just keeling over fucking right there on the fucking air.
Yeah. As he tells you to party your dicks off. You know what I mean? Like.
Exactly, but, Brandon. Most would want to be remembered for the good time.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Well, so and we kind of talked about this right before we went live. And my whole thing is, don't go out there and be a fucking vet bro and be a douchebag when somebody thanks you for your service this weekend. We know for us, we're honoring those we lost overseas and in combat zones, or even back here stateside due to being part of the 22, or illnesses from shit that happened overseas. And, you know, if somebody comes up and thanks me for my service this weekend, the most I can do is thank them for supporting our fucking troops and supporting what we do. Because the way this nation is right now, there's not a lot of people left that support the fucking military or support what we do on a daily, day-to-day basis while we're actively in.
Whoa.
I'm out there fucking cooking my ass off, barbecuing, partying it up, hitting the pool, going to the beach, doing whatever the fuck I want this weekend in remembrance of the guys that I fought with and that died at my side over in fucking combat. I'm doing what we would have done if they were here.
Whoa.
That's all there fucking is to it. Don't be a vet bro. Don't be a fucking douchebag. Somebody thanks you for your service, it's because they respect and appreciate what we do to keep this nation safe, even though this nation's not as safe as it once fucking was.
Yeah. And in saying all that too, there's not, the recruiting numbers are low. There's not, you know, what's going to be left in the next couple of years. Okay. Like, you know, we know that the army's changing. We know it's going to soften, but yeah, that's a whole different episode there.
Did you see the fucking ROTC is like having their fucking their cadets fucking start recruiting, dude? And it's like, it's tied, part of that's tied to their fucking GPA in college.
Yeah.
Can you imagine like forcing like cadets to like recruit and tying it to their GPA in college, dude? Like, how fucked up is that?
It's so crazy.
I'd love to be an ROTC cadet right now and up to like a fucking damn liberal arts major and try to convince them to join the fucking army. That would be great. That would be a whole fucking podcast episode in itself.
There's a kid that I worked with at the stadiums last year, and he just joined ROTC. Like, he's getting ready to go to college, and he's going to be an ROTC start. I think he goes to basic like in August, And like, and as soon as he gets done with basic, he starts school and he's going to be in ROTC. And it's like,
fuck yeah.
Good luck, kid. Yeah. Good luck. He says he wants to branch into infantry. So I was like, fuck yeah, bro. Do it. Go.
Do it. That's fucking dope, man. Let me tell you something. I mean, I love Memorial Day. I love smelling the barbecue. I love seeing people together. I love seeing people together. Listen, I keep saying that the pandemic is over, right? I don't care what anybody says, Dr. fucking whatever the fuck face is. I don't care what any of these guys says. The pandemic is over. People are outside. People are fucking celebrating. Now, before we get to the next thing, I just had a crazy revelation about the new neighbor who lives downstairs from me.
Oh, God.
He's an infantry veteran.
Cool. How old is he?
Yeah. Yeah. You know, and the only thing he was a little intoxicated when we were talking about it. He pulled out his dog tags. He pulled out something called a P-32. I don't know.
What it looked like?
It was on his dog tag. It kind of looked like something that you put a blade in or something.
A P-32. That's like a detonator.
Yeah, he had it on his
give me a second. I'll figure this out in about 10 seconds.
It's a can opener.
What is it?
It's the fucking can opener.
Oh, hold on. Yeah. P-38. That's a P-38.
Oh, okay.
P-38. It's a can opener.
Yeah, you know, but he kept
how
on
saying. How old is this guy?
Hex Quilini joined.
Over 50.
Okay. This. Yeah. So yeah. Then yes.
The P-38.
If he served in the 80s and shit, then
that's
yeah,
it. Probably. Yep, that's it.
That's a fucking can opener, John.
Oh, he's got a fucking can opener on his dog tag. But yeah, I had
one of those on my fucking dog tags. You never know when you were gonna need it.
He had his, you know, what we call it, the I Love Me book. He calls it his Bible. Was like, it was big, and I was like, holy shit, man, like. You see me with my army shirt all the time. You didn't. He was, and I'm like, all right, I get it. And he kept on saying, he goes, my friends aren't here, but I am, and I remember them.
Yeah,
that's what this weekend is all about, guys.
Okay.
It's all about remembering them. So pour one out, eat that hot dog, eat an extra one for your boy too. Okay. Your boy or your girl, your brother, or your sister, whoever you lost, you know, because we remember them. We remember them. Ring the bells. If you're in the area where you could shoot one up in the air, shoot one up in the air. Yeah. Just remember, what do you always say, Jay? When you shoot them up.
What goes up must come down. So. Yep.
It's going to come down somewhere, man. So I'm super excited. Now,
in other news, John likes glizzies.
I fucking love a good sweaty meat glizzy, baby.
What is that? What's a glizzy?
It's a
fucking hot dog.
Yeah.
Who calls them that? What?
The Eastons, all right? Now, let me tell you something. Come July 4th, my wife doesn't know this yet, but I'm dragging her to the hot dog eating contest, all right?
Nice.
In July? I went once. I watched Joey Chestnut get his first win.
That's cool.
John shoves multiple wieners in his mouth at once.
Yeah, I don't know how these motherfuckers do it. Like they have it down to a fucking science, and it's disgusting how much they can put down. Like it is absolutely abjectly disgusting how much
they put down. She knows now. Yeah, she does know now. I have some stuff here. Military traditions. And we're talking about like, you know, military today. We're having a good time. We have some weird military traditions. Are you ready to hear these?
Absolutely.
First ones, fighter pilots or members of flight crew get hosed down after their final flight.
Okay. Oh, the plane.
Like yeah.
The plane. Yeah.
Yeah. They also throw string cheese, flour, and mayonnaise on them too.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Interesting.
this one I find rather interesting. At a military wedding with sword detail, the wife gets a sword tapped to her ass to welcome her to the family.
Yes, my sister, and when she married her husband, he's in the Air Force. He's currently a senior master sergeant, actually.
Fuck yeah.
He's been in for a hot minute, and they're pushing towards 30 like right now, literally. And so like when they got married, on the way out, the last guy just kind of did a little swoosh with this freaking sword and tapped her on her behind. You know, walking out of the church down the aisle.
So, interesting.
Yeah, cool.
Yep.
This one, when a Navy ship crosses the equator, sailors perform crossing the line ceremony, which frankly involves a lot of weird stuff. These days, sailors crossing the line for the first time, called polywogs or wogs for short, can expect an initiation into the club for those who have done it before, referring to as shellbacks. During the two-day event, the Court of Neptune inducts the wogs into the mysteries of the deep with activities like having men dress up as women and drink stuff like a wonderful mix of hot sauce and aftershave, or make them crawl on their hands and knees in deference to King Neptune. I'm not making this up, guys.
My grandpa had a tattoo on his
forearm. Shellback tattoo. Yep.
It was an old schooner, basically like the one with like all the fucking sails and shit. And it said, it said across the equator. And that was because during his service in the Navy during World War II, his ship had crossed the equator.
So now the new one that they do after you get initiated and you cross the equator for the first time, a lot of sailors get a sea turtle tattoo to represent the shellback.
Yep.
Interesting. I didn't know that.
A lot of the tattoo traditions in the military actually start from the Navy. And it's because the Navy had specific tattoos that you would get for specific things that you had done or, you know, been a part of. And that's where a lot of the Army, you know, the Army and the Marines, I'm sure the Marines and the Army always had their guys in there that were the tattoo types, right? But a lot of our tattoo traditions really didn't start to like Vietnam and post-Vietnam. Like the Navy has always been big on tattoos. Always.
Yeah. I've got a buddy that actually was Army, but he was a medic, and he was stationed at Norfolk, Virginia, with the Navy for a short period of time, and he crossed the equator, and he's got a shellback tattoo.
That's dope. That would be worth getting a Navy style tattoo if you were part of that,
part of the tradition. Yeah. So.
I got to ask my little brother, because my little brother, during his time in the Marines, I know he was on a boat, and I know he went like top up to top down at one point. So I got to ask him if he's got one of that. And it's actually funny because last year I was working on a project called Project Sea Turtle, which ended up not happening at all. It was supposed to be a GTA RP server for military. And it didn't
take off. It happens.
Actually, I think Squillini, I actually had him in there at one point, and
it was Down and Dirty that I was in.
Oh, yeah.
I found it.
Actually, Project Sea Turtle turned into Down and Dirty, but yeah. Next one. Before going on deployment, Marine infantrymen who have never deployed need to shave their heads. This is one of those voluntary, you don't have to do this if you don't want to kind of things, but there are three guys in the platoon who decide to keep their hair before deploying and 2003. Interestingly enough, they were put on plenty of cleanup details and other not so fun jobs as a result.
Yeah, we have a couple of, like, I don't know if you'd call them traditions, but like when you've done it a couple times, you know, once you go the first time, it's never going to be your first time again. So like the next time you go, you see a lot of the guys that haven't gone before. The time after that, you see a lot more people that haven't gone. You know what I mean? And as you start stacking your time downrange, you see more and more people coming in behind you, you know, filling the gaps. And as you start making rank and they're, you know, subordinate to you, you know, and it starts putting a lot of things in perspective. But I remember one of my more fond memories, I didn't tempt the waters very often when I was in the Army. I took my career very seriously. Right. But prior to going on my third deployment, one of my fellow squad leaders, in my platoon, he had brought like a fucking 12 pack, and we were in our cantonment unit, our cantonment area prior to taking buses to go out to the airport to fly out. And so he had brought a 12 pack in. So we were like getting rid of them. And then we had like, I don't know, five or six left. And we went to the bathroom down the hall in our battalion area. And the bathroom is basically like a bathroom and a locker room, like shower area. So it's like both. And we just went over into the fucking shower area, and we fucking just like started like pounding fucking these last like two or three beers each, basically. Like we like faced them. You know what I mean? Cause it was like, well, we aren't going to fucking, we weren't going to waste them, and we weren't going to be having any alcohol for like the next 9 fucking months. You know what I mean? So I know there's probably somebody out there. If you're listening to this, like either today live or somewhere in the near future, I know some of you guys out there got your hands on some alcohol downrange. Not all of us did, and not all of us wanted to, because some of us like we're already tiptoeing the line. So you know what I mean, like.
Yep. And the next one, this one has endured plenty of bad press, but I want both of you guys to explain to me the tradition of the blood pin.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
So by God damn it. Okay. So as a former instructor at the NCO Academy, the tradition of blood wings or doing blood pins, you know, on whatever, you know, honor you have received or badge you got or school you passed or whatever, is where you basically just take the badge or the pin or whatever it is, and they put it on your chest and they pound it in. So it sticks to you in the flesh, right?
It's a part of you.
So as a former instructor, officially this would qualify as freaking abuse, basically. It's like it's not ethical anymore, right?
I've physically witnessed this once.
Yeah, I know.
But see,
it's still out. It is still out there. There are still, even in the infantry world, I know down at Fort Benning, and it's not popular to talk about it anymore, but I know there are still drill sergeants that pin blood rifles on some of their soldiers.
Yeah.
I'm not going to say any more than that, other than like it does still happen sometimes. And I'm also not going to say whether or not I'm fond of it. As a practice, it's just, I'm just going to leave it out there. So,
yeah, I mean, the most I saw of it was after switching to the Velcro patch method for fucking ranks, because it was also very common back in the day during promotion ceremonies. Yeah. Obviously, once they switched to the Velcro patches, now it was just patch would be lightly put there and then everybody would just run through and just pound their hand into your chest. Yep. Now, again, not going to say whether I was fond of it as an NCO or not, but, you know, technically it is considered
hazing.
It's considered hazing.
I mean, that's
court-martiable offense at this point.
Yeah. Like they people just, as is tradition with anything else, not just the United States Army or any of our other sister branches, it only takes one or two assholes to like freaking ruin it for everybody. So, and that's the dude getting his freaking.
This is in a whole other country too.
Yeah. Oh yeah. And then I pound it in. Bink.
Oh, come on.
Seriously.
Oh, ah.
Make sure it's in there. Make sure it's in there. Now you a soldier.
That one kid died from getting hit in the chest from the mallet during promotion. Yep, I remember that one.
Yeah, that was one of the reasons.
That was what kind of broke the camel's back, so to speak, on that.
I remember that because that's after that was right around that, like that. He got fucked up really bad. I don't know if he died or not, but he lost his career. I know his career was over. I do remember. And then it was 2 or 3 years after that, and that was right around the time I was going to Benning to reclass to the infantry. And that's when like the blood rivals thing became very hush hush. And like all of a sudden, like sometimes you heard about it, sometimes you didn't. And then occasionally privates would trickle through after me, like after my reclass, you know, like years down the road, occasionally a couple would trickle in and be like, yeah, we did blood rifles. And then like 8 other dudes that just trickled in with them were like, no, we didn't. You know what I mean? And it was like, I'm hands free, dude. Like, I'm not asking. Like, not my fucking business anymore. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like,
This next tradition, this is a West Point pillow fight. West Point cadets have a giant pillow fight to blow off steam after the summer is over.
Yeah, 30 hurt. Yeah, bro.
This particular pillow fight, they fucked each other up in, like, really bad. it got really violent.
Well, maybe I guess they had to blow some steam off.
Look at this guy right here with the mattresses. They got mattresses.
24 of them suffered concussions. They haven't even made it to the Army yet, and they already got concussions. Like, that's TBI. God damn it. Like, God damn it, cadets. What the fuck?
God, that is a...
There it is.
Badass fucking pillow fight.
Fucking pass.
Oh man. Oh man. This okay. This one, I think we kind of touched about this. Naval Academy midshipmen climb a large cover monument for a hat.
Hmm. Okay. Is that an Annapolis or something?
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to find the. Oh, here it is. So, okay, so around the same time of the year that the West Point cadets are beating each other and causing concussions, 1,000 screaming Navy midshipmen are charging toward a 21-foot monument covered in lard with a hat on top. The goal is to retrieve the first-year pleb hat and replace it with an upperclassman hat, a task which signifies a transition to their next year at the academy. Beforehand, upperclassmen hook up the plebes with about 200 pounds of greasy lard slapped on the sides of the Herndon Monument, making their task a bit more difficult.
Oh, yeah.
They need to use teamwork and dedication to climb to their way to the top, which can take anywhere up from minutes to over 4 hours. The longest time was a class of 95 with 4 hours and 5 minutes. According to the Academy's website, the tradition is that the first guy to make it to the top will likely rise to the rank of Admiral first. That is, if he or she doesn't get themselves fired.
Right.
Yeah, so it's
well, see, that's why you see them throwing their shirts, because they're trying to use the shirts to
get the lard off.
Some of that lard off.
Yeah. Yep.
This is incredible, guys.
Yeah, I've seen similar stuff. Like, yeah, that's pretty. Yeah, you got to use some fucking teamwork. You know what I mean? If you're gonna get the old hat off the 21-foot tall obelisk thing, you know.
Yeah, another and some small little things here. We have paratroopers and cherry pies. When you finish going through airborne school, your head will be spinning, filled with all the information you'll need to not shatter every bone in your body when you make a landing. You'll have to master, the art of hooking up to your static line and perform countless parachute landing falls before you're even able to get a chance to actually jump out of a perfect plane. Can you tell us anything about the cherry pies and paratroopers?
No.
You never carried a cherry pie with you?
Well, I always carried cherry pies with me.
It says when you finally get to jump with your unit in the 82nd, your superiors recommend that you fill your cargo pockets with Hostess cherry pies.
But see, that's the thing. So that's more of an 82nd tradition, and I wasn't with the 82nd.
You were one of them?
Mm-mm. I was with the Airborne MP Brigade at Bragg. Oh, I wasn't with 82nd. Because you got to think, now, I'm not sure if, because from what I understand is now the MP Brigade that I was part of at Bragg is no longer airborne. I think I was one of the last classes to go through airborne school as an MP.
Okay.
But because it's Bragg, even the sister units like mine, we did carry the Hostess cherry pies in our pockets when we jumped. Just mainly because high altitude jumps, your blood sugar can drop. And when you land, that cherry pie is a really good way to fucking fix that blood sugar problem.
Oh, no shit. That makes sense. I know we all know about this one. Even myself, the cook, knows about the grog bowl.
Oh yeah!
God, fuck the grog bowl.
Yeah, look, I'm going to put this just in my own words. It's fruit punch with a mixture of whatever the fuck has any kind of resemblance or memory to whatever the fuck you're doing. Like, usually in a toilet.
We did one. The battalion ball after my first deployment, and it was fucking nasty.
Yeah,
we did one.
Fucking gross. They had like motor oil in there and fucking sand from Afghanistan and all kinds of
stuff. We had a sock in hours. I had my first one during rite of passage.
I never fucking touched that shit. Fuck that. Fuck that grog.
Spallini's looking at something.
Wrong button. Hold on.
I think I seem, I, you know, I was in for almost 12 years and I had just, I had terrible luck our battalion balls. Oh, those poor infantrymen having to wear fucking cav hats. Those poor guys.
Wait a minute. It's about, he know, I know this frog hole here.
They're about to start it.
There it is. There it is, boys.
You want to know how to get everybody fucked up? This is how you get everybody fucked up.
Fucked up looking at those cab hats. Yeah. But they're hype. You look like they're having fun, though. Have you guys ever seen like the party shirts? Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Oh, there he goes. Look at his hat.
Look at First Sarge, straight up drinking out his fucking hat, too.
I had sake for the grown.
Oh, my God.
So can I get all my
armored battalion?
Yeah.
Fort Hood, Texas.
Shit gets fucking wild.
Jay looks like he's having a triggering, traumatizing moment in his head.
Yeah. I'm just glad all them Cav, they seem like they were having fun.
Yeah.
So what I hear is I need to go by my storage unit and get my fucking Cav hat out and hang it behind me.
Gross.
Yeah. Yeah. We're almost done.
My last deployment, I was attached to first Cav. So
all right,
I'm an MP that's authorized to wear a Stetson and a red beret and jump wings and spurs.
That's good. That's a sign of a very storied career, though. That's good.
The next one is blasting up the lieutenant's patrol cap.
What's that?
Oh,
doing what now?
Okay, so in the technical terms, a blasting cap is a small, sensitive, primary explosive device to use to detonate a larger, more powerful and less sensitive secondary explosive. Soldiers in the artillery world take this term literally whenever they welcome a new platoon leader. When the platoon first goes out for a live fire exercise with a brand new lieutenant, they'll take the officer's patrol cap and tape it to the end of the barrel or backplate of a rocket pod. Then the first round goes off. It'll take the cap with it. The officer is then expected to retrieve the nearly burnt to a crisp hat so that they can remain in uniform after the ceremony is done.
Jesus.
That's just the enlisted's way of telling fucking LT to go fuck himself. That's all that is.
My God.
Hey Gonzo, don't worry about it. We're still gonna make something work because it's still gonna get uploaded, and still people are gonna see it, or we could do it for the next one. But we got you, man. My last one is actually probably one of my favorite ones that I love seeing. if you guys could explain this more for me, the challenge coin duels.
The challenge coin thing started several generations before ours. And then it used to be more of a thing out and about, like on the town. Like if you're at a Legion, or if you're at a VFW, if you're still active duty and you're on post, you know what I mean? You could challenge somebody. And if your coin had a higher rank on it, you know, the person of first you have to challenge to produce the coins. Right. And if you don't have a coin, you already lost. You know, and then if you all have coins, the one with the lowest ranking coin would purchase that round of beverages. That has since kind of gone kind of by the wayside. You'll still see people do it here and there. At my old VFW in Colorado,
he got something. I could see his face.
Well, we didn't do the rank thing. We just did produce a coin. And so it became like, I still actually, because of that, I still have a coin in my fucking wallet, like right now. Like, and it's because of that. Like, cause I just,
some traditions never die down.
So,
yeah.
So it's exactly the way Jay explained it. And when I used to do it, I had yet to lose a fucking challenge coin duel.
What was
the my coin? Three-star gen.
Yeah.
That's pretty funny. I had, during basic training, my cousin, who was the commandant of the military police corps, the provost marshal of the army at the time, was a three-star general about to retire. He came through my training unit and several of us got coins from him.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's kind of one of those things. You walk up to somebody, challenge. I would do it all the fucking time for free drinks. Yep.
I have a general. I have a 2-star general's challenge coin too that we got from the DFAC. It was really nice. That was really nice, actually. It was for our Thanksgiving, because you know Thanksgiving at the Army DFAC is one of the greatest Thanksgivings you could ever have. But yeah, those are some good traditions. I do have some news here. You guys are going to love this. Army veteran who stormed the Capitol gets more than 8 years in prison.
Good. Fucking fuck that guy. Hang on a second.
Stuart Rhodes is now on the DD214 gaming wall of shame for simply
being a shitbag.
Invading the Capitol. You don't invade the fucking Capitol.
Trying to overturn a freaking democratic process because you didn't get your fucking way, you little fucking crybaby.
Yeah.
Right. Enjoy prison.
Yeah. So the founder of the group got 18 years.
Yeah. Oath keepers. That's like when North Korea calls themselves the Democratic People's Republic. Like what fucking oath are you keeping, you fucking shitbags? Like, yeah.
So that has happened, and we've said it before. We don't tolerate Nazis. We don't tolerate racists. We don't tolerate fucking
fascism. Fucking.
I mean, what has the word patriot become?
That's what I'm like. What is, you know what, like, that means? What does it count as anymore when your so-called fucking patriots are trying to fucking overturn a fucking, you know, a democratic election because they didn't get their way and they're like, just whatever, dude. I don't need, like. There was never a shred of evidence. It was obvious from the beginning. They're just making shit up as they went along. And the fact that it got that far is really like the most disappointing part. Like the fact that it went that fucking far, you know, like it really, really is disappointing. Like it just, wow, did people really get swept up in some bullshit?
Yep. So. Now, ladies and gentlemen, the Honorable Christine Warmoth, the U.S. Secretary of the Army, has said that She has reminded the commanders that they cannot deny soldiers parental leave. And the only ones authorized to deny soldiers parental leave is the general.
Color me fucking shocked that a whole bunch of fucking battalion commanders and probably brigade commanders, so this would be the ranks of lieutenant colonel and colonels in the United States Army, just decided to do whatever the fuck they wanted after an army-wide policy came out.
Yeah,
this is like when I came back from fucking my first deployment, 2012 time frame, they were transitioning from the old PT to 7-22. Fucking ignored by everybody. Everyone ignored 7-22. And then fucking about 8 to 10 years later, everybody's wondering why soldiers can't fucking pass the ACFT. It's because they weren't doing fucking 7-22 PT for fucking almost 10 years.
Yeah.
Like, and it literally, like, and it, I'm telling you guys right now, it is a problem. The middle ranks, the field grade officers are the problem in the Army right now. Field grade officers. Okay. So you have company grade is second lieutenant, first lieutenant, captain. Field grade is going to be major, fucking lieutenant, colonel, and colonel. And then you have your fucking general ranks, you know, your field ranks. Okay. Flag ranks. That's your fucking, that's when you become a general.
And it even,
okay? Like that's where all the problems start, is the fucking, the middle ranking officers.
Yeah. It also says here that one spouse of a soldier told military.com in April that they would not have challenged their command's decision to withhold or significantly delay parental leave due to a fear of retaliation.
Yeah. And that's, it's. I don't know what happens after people graduate from being a captain or a company commander and they go to Leavenworth for a year and they go to the Majors College at Leavenworth, and something happens when they put that gold leaf on their chest and it's like they lose their fucking minds. In the on the enlisted side, for those of you Army veterans out there that might be listening in or watching, it's the same thing that happens when motherfuckers go from staff sergeant to sergeant first class, it seems. It's like something happens in that transition between ranks, and it's like all common sense. You get scared for your fucking career and you want to make 20 all of a sudden. Like, I don't know what the fuck happens, but I've seen more people just absolutely lose their shit. I've never had, like, I can't say never, but I can count on fucking less than one hand. Like, it's not even one hand. I can count on less than one hand how many good, solid fucking 04s I had in my career, because they were all assholes all the fucking time. Yeah. I'm talking support side and infantry. This is MOS and branch irrelevant. Like, majors in the Army are fucking assholes, dude. I don't know what the fuck happens between captain and major that makes it that way, but they really fuck shit up bad. Like, consistently fuck shit up bad.
So I love Brandon Cleary's fucking eyes there, because, you know, you pointed out the exact rank that he is. Rank that I was when I got out.
Well, on the enlisted, it's a little bit different on the enlisted side. The for the officers, and I'm going to say this very plainly, I could never have been an officer. I would not have made it. I would have washed the fuck out of OCS. Like, would not have made it ever as an officer. But from my perspective on the enlisted side, especially as I started, like, graduating in rank, you know, and going through a couple of different MOSs, there were some easy themes and patterns that pop up over and over and over again in the Army. And one of them being, something happens when you go to SLC and pick up fucking E7, you know, as a paycheck for the first time. And something happens between 03 and 04. And whatever that transition is, boy, does it fuck a lot of people up, and it fucks other people's careers. You know what I mean?
Oh yeah. Yep. I mean, I've seen it happen even in the MP Corps. It happens fucking everywhere.
Yeah. Gonzo said too, it's always fear. A lot of people do not talk due to fear. And over here, it says that the spouse that I was just talking about said the soldier was prepared to accept whatever the service offered, whether it was in the line of regulations or not. And, you know, I think we've all been in that situation where we had to
say something,
sometimes say something, or
choose not to
conform to it, you know, because either you're afraid, either you probably have a shitty NCO that's writing you up for his numbers, or maybe your unit just doesn't like you, which in some cases, actually, it does happen, because at the end of the day, people in uniform are still people, and they still have the right and the mental mind to choose who to like and not who to like. And these civilian issues happen within the Army too. You know, it's not like a thing, you know, we have our camaraderie. We have more camaraderie more than anything, but there is that 1%.
Well, yeah. I mean, I can think of a few times during my career that I had to either say something, stand up and say something. And there were times that when I said something, I got shot right the fuck down.
Yeah.
And then there were other times where I chose to die on the hill. And I was like, no, like this needs to be this way. And until it's this way, I can't move and I can't budge. And, you know, you kind of have to pick your battles and choose which hills to die on pretty carefully sometimes. But I encourage all service members, regardless of branch, in our great nation's military, do the right thing. Okay. Don't do anything that's illegal, immoral, or unethical. Okay. Like, hold yourself to a higher standard, even if your leadership is not. Okay. Cause it's not, you know, if your leadership is filled with shit bags, that's not a very, high hurdle to clear. All you have to do is be better than they are. And that's it's really not hard to do, whether you're enlisted or on the officer side. It's really not a hard bar to, like, jump over when they make it so low. You know what I mean? So just try to do the right thing out there, guys.
I got two more stories for you. So for those, you know, the U.S. default could stop military paychecks, but Navy Federal has a fix. Okay. If you guys are following what's going on, active duty troops, reservists, civilian police, and contractors of the Defense Department may not have to go without pay if an ongoing political fight in Washington, D.C. leads to a default on U.S. debt. If they're signed up to have their pay directly deposited into the Navy Federal Credit Union, that could be fixed. To qualify, Navy Federal members' paycheck must come directly from the federal government via direct deposit. It must be affected by the debt default, preferably no later than the day before the member's scheduled pay date, but up to 3 days after. The member must register to receive a loan in advance of the pay owed. Loan amounts are determined in $500 increments. If the member's last paycheck amounted to anywhere between $1,001 to $1,500, for example, the member will receive a loan of $1,000. If the last check was for $2,501 to $3,000, the loan will be for $2,500. Once direct deposit resumes, Navy Federal will automatically deduct the loan amount so that it's repaid.
Are you ready for me to do like my prediction for the week? Are you ready for this? The United States is not going to default. Like, that's your prediction. It ain't going to fucking happen, dude. Like, they're not allowed to default. Like, it's in our fucking Constitution. We have to pay our debts. It's literally in the Constitution. Like, read the motherfucker. It's in there. We are obligated by our Constitution to pay our debts. This is just a bunch of assholes. Once again, I fucking hate getting political about this shit, but it fucking, boy, does it come up a lot now, doesn't it? Fucking, it's a bunch of assholes holding the government hostage, literally. And there's a couple of those assholes have actually used that terminology. They're just holding the government hostage right now to try to get their fucking way. By the way, these are some of the same assholes that supported the other assholes that are going to jail for fucking the shit they did on January 6th.
Yeah.
Just throwing that out there too, guys. Yep. Fucking, if this is what you like and this is what you support, I would really hope that you are thinking and like questioning like what's going on around you. Okay. Cause they're not making it anything easy on anyone. And if anything, they're just making it harder on everyone. Okay. And they're not making it harder on the people that need to be made harder on a little bit more. Okay. Like we were just talking about writer strikes and Screen Actors Guild strikes and shit like that. Like who are they actually making shit hard on? You know, definitely not the rich assholes.
Yep. Right? And now I have some really beautiful news for you guys. So this is the 10-year anniversary of the Murph Challenge, okay?
There you go.
If you guys don't know what the Murph Challenge is, it is 100 pull-ups, 200 push-ups, and 300 squat repetitions. But there is an article right now saying that the Murph is not for beginners, but here are 5 tips to progress without overuse of injuries. Number one, try the Murph without a weight vest for starters, okay? You don't want to overexert yourself. You don't want to hurt yourself. They say this to you during your PT. Don't hurt yourself. Tip number 2, cut the reps in half. Number 3, try all of your repetitions with an easier option, like a suspension trainer or a squat row machine. Number 4, do good reps. Do good reps. And number 5, replace running. If running's not your thing, the 2 miles of running, it could be very challenging. A lot of people just can't run. There are different, replace it with another exercise. A rower, do some jumping jacks, but.
You're right.
Or rowing, you know? Yeah. And so, you know, guys, this is look at this for the Murph. Now, if you want to do the Murph Challenge, depending what state you're in, for example, in the state of New Jersey, there's actually one happening 2 blocks away from where I live now. At the American Legion Post 87 in Woodbridge, they're hosting the Murph Challenge. If you're in Missouri, they have one in Columbia, Cottleville, St. Peter's, St. Louis Metro, and Pleasant Valley. If you're in North Carolina. Statesville, North Wilkesboro, Greensboro, Apex, Knightdale, Greensboro again. Angier, Raleigh, Jacksonville, Clayton, Spring Lake. If you're in Texas, oh my God,
it's too many.
Oh my God, it's all over the state in Texas. All right, you'll find one in Texas. If you're in New York, you know it. There's so many in New York too. Okay, but guys, we're talking about Memorial Day. This is the 10-year anniversary of the Murph Challenge. The registration is still open. You can, and I didn't know this, and I wish I would have known this because I would have loved to have done this ourselves. We can host an event for the Murph Challenge, and I'm just going to put it in the winds. I would love to do that next year. Yeah. For the future. I'm just going to say for the future.
I like ruck marching. I like ruck
march. I would love to do a DD214 gaming ruck march.
That'd be fun. Find like a 5K or a 10K. It's like 3.1, 6.2 miles. You know what I mean? Whatever. You know what we should do? Like
from Kansas City, from Kansas City, Missouri to Kansas City, Kansas.
Yeah, I think they have a couple of 5 and 10Ks that do similar. You'll cross the state line, basically.
I'd love to cross a bridge too.
Oh yeah, fucking yeah! I'm sure. I was looking up 5Ks the other day, man. They are like every fucking weekend from now until like November. I mean, literally, like there's more 5Ks than I can shake a stick at in the Kansas City Metro. So yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, so that's all that there really isn't much for news. Other than, you know, Vice President Harris praises cadet sacrifice in West Point's first commencement speech by a woman. That's history right there in itself, whether you like the lady or not, you know, that's history.
Oh, did you see Zelensky gave the commencement speech at John Hopkins? I watched that. John Hopkins brought in President Zelensky from Ukraine as a surprise commencement speaker at their graduation this year. That was really cool.
That's really cool.
Yeah.
All right, let's see, because we do have to end. Let's see, Mark Gonzo just sent it. It's going to take a minute to load. All right, we're going to do our retro game of the week, and then we're going to do our final thought, and then we're done. And yeah, make sure, yeah, then we'll, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Sounds good, brother. Sounds good.
Because I can't upload it on here. I have to do it like this. Well, where the fuck is it?
Well, you got to talk nice to it, John. You got to speak slow and soft.
I did speak nice to it. Squalini told me to the other day. All right, and we'll here we go. Yep, we're right back. Oh, what the hell?
No sound.
Yeah.
Where's the audio?
What's going on, guys? Checking out the latest episode of DD214 Gaming Podcast. Check them out, by the way, while I edit, you know, the next edition of Retro Game of the Week. That time again, you know. Hi, guys. Welcome back to your Retro Game of the Week. This week's edition is a little bit different. For those who know, it's Memorial Day weekend. When you're in college, high school, grammar school, I guess, you know, you're thinking about parties, barbecues, the start of the summer, pools, beaches, all that social stuff. But there's obviously a important meaning to Memorial Day. When I guess you're in that mind state, you know, you might think about it, it might come up and you're like, all right, you know, cool, whatever, summer, heat, beaches, parties, all that stuff, you know, but we know what Memorial Day is really about. It's about those who are no longer with us, who decided to give all for this country and for what they believed in when they served. All gave some gave all, as the saying goes. And for those who gave all, who are no longer with us, whether it's a friend, a family, a neighbor, just anybody that we knew, thank you. Those who served and were able to come back as well, thank you. We live on your legacy. You probably retired, probably had to be medically discharged. However, you decided to separate from the service, but still served. And you might have served next to somebody who isn't here anymore. We thank all of those who served, who just gave whatever they gave to the service, especially those who are no longer with us and decided to give it all. As you see, decided to bring up my get up. I'm currently serving in the military. And I appreciate everybody who stands side by side with me, no matter what branch, no matter what service. We're all part of the Big M, as they say. And it's an honor and a privilege to serve with you guys. But let's get right into this Retro Game of the Week's episode. Decided to kind of move away from the plan that I had and do something different. So we're going to talk about 1942. It's one of my, actually, not favorite, but I enjoyed playing a lot of it as a kid. I didn't have the game when I was growing up. Borrowed it or rented it. And it's kind of like just a linear up and down shooter. You just kind of move left and right, up and down. So it reminds me of like Space Invaders, Asteroids, Raiden. Instead, Raiden went from like side that you would go across the screen instead of up and down. Well, you're not traveling up, you're traveling sideways, but you're still kind of, it's really just XYZ axis. You know, you're just in an aircraft shooting enemies, trying to get to your destination. 1942, you're controlling a Japanese aircraft trying to get to from the Pacific shore all the way to Tokyo. It took place, I guess you could say, around the World War II era type of thing. It also had an arcade port, a sequel of 1942 sequel, 1943, The Battle of Midway. If you know the story about behind Midway, you know the game's relevance to it. This time, picture is going to be up here because I got this, you know, space that needs to be taken, so it doesn't look awkward in the video. But it's not really much of anything. You know, you're really an aircraft. You get power ups. You get your gun changes. You go from like shooting like four or five bullets, so then there's just like this blaster that kind of takes up not the whole screen, but like some of it, really, really just like Raiden and Gradius and all of those, that is just, you know, an aircraft shooting a bunch of different enemies coming on and off the screen. Not much besides getting to the boss battle, destroying some big aircraft or maybe a tank in the arcade version, or I guess an aircraft carrier, or not an aircraft carrier, a destroyer ship. And if you like shooters, where it's just literally linear shooters, you'll enjoy this. I had to whip out the arcade stick while I was playing it on the NES to give it more of the arcade feel. Because on the controller and the D-pad, it was just kind of like, lackluster. It wasn't all that great. But that's your game of the week this week. I don't want to too much into it because, you know, today, like I said, it's not supposed to be a sad day, but definitely a day of remembrance. Well, not today, tomorrow. So take the time to remember all of those who sacrificed the ultimate sacrifice for us. And if it's a family member that did so, sorry for your loss. I'm a third generation military, I guess, brat, because I didn't got raised in the military. But my grandfather served Korean War, my dad served Vietnam, and my brother served both wars in the Middle East, and I'm currently serving. My great uncle is a Purple Heart recipient, and one of my uncles also served a short term in the military. So to all of those, serve, once again, thank you, and have a great rest of the day, guys. Take it easy. Peace.
Yo. That was really fucking cool, because that game, 1942, I played, oh man, first off, there is no better way to say, Jay, unmute yourself, there is no better way to say that you are a man of the uniform if you don't do things last minute. I'm just saying, all right? That intro was something, and you got that off. 1942 was one of my favorite games growing up, and I loved it because I still play the 1942 games that are out now, like these like battle plane games. I'm a sucker for these plane games, and 1942 is definitely one of them. And how fitting. How fitting.
That's a good game. I remember that game. That's definitely my era. Like, that's definitely my like earlier. I remember playing that shit in the arcade, you know, before it came to console on the NES. You know,
yeah, I was a huge fan of those games. You're gonna make me go on my VR and play the 1942 that's on there. Like, I'm really like about to go on there, like straight up and play that in remembrance But yeah, we're here at the end. Jay, you got the final thought today?
Yeah, sure, I can. I would like to encourage everybody, as always, take note of yourself, take note of the ones around you. I know this for a lot of people, this weekend comes with kind of like a lot of feels for some. It can dredge up a lot of memories. Stuff can come up to the surface that you haven't thought about in a long time. That's okay. That's kind of what we're all here for. Don't be afraid to pick up the phone. Don't be afraid to call the homies. Okay. Reach out and say hi to somebody that you haven't talked to in a while, maybe today, people you're thinking of. Yes, we have all faced our losses. There are still people here. Okay. And I want to remind everybody of that. Okay. We still need you here. Okay. Every week. Okay. Every day, somebody out there needs you here. Okay. That's the number one thing. If you're having a bad day, if you have just a lot of nastiness going on inside your head and you need to get something out, okay, you can dial you can text *988. You can call 988, and you can also call 1-800-273-8255. That's 1-800-273-TALK. Okay. They're a licensed behavioral health specialist waiting to take your call. They volunteer their time just waiting for you to call. It's okay. It's okay to reach out. It's okay if you're having a bad day. If you're feeling okay today, I say good. Go out and have a barbecue. Go out and step out into the sunshine, get some freaking vitamin D. All right. It's healthy. All right. You're not supposed to be locked in your freaking house or your basement, you know, having anxiety about fucking going down the street to get a fucking gallon of milk. All right. Swallow that shit down. All right. Freaking get back up and take the first step forward. All right. You guys are strong. I've seen how strong you guys are. All right. So don't tell me that you're not. I don't like hearing the words "I can't," because I know you can. So when the times get tough, the tough get going. And that's what we fucking do. All right. Our flag faces a certain way on our uniform because we do not fall back. All right. No retreat, no surrender. Enjoy the rest of your weekends, guys. Pour one out for the homies. All right. If you guys are having trouble, freaking reach out and call somebody. Remember, nothing good happens after fucking midnight. All right. You know, take care of your kids. Freaking enjoy the unofficial beginning of your summer. All right. Stay safe. Your next unofficial hit time is approximately 168 hours from now. We want to see you next week. Guys, be good. We love you. Take care. Joe, John, I hope you guys have a wonderful day as well. Love you guys. And happy Memorial Day, guys. Happy Memorial.
And don't go out there and break any bones today there, old man.
Yeah, I know, right? I'm playing like throw a fucking hammy playing softball in about 30 minutes. Watch.
Freaking fucking slip disc. Next thing you know, fucking Jay's stuck on bed rest for the next 7 months.
No shit. Like, there's a reason I did not play ball sports at all while I was in the Army for reasons. Like, and it was because I was terrified of like blowing a knee out and having to like get out on a medical separation. So like, yeah, this is going to be my first foray back into ball sports in a while. So we'll see how it goes. Yep.
And with that, we're going to end the show with some Joey Diaz, like every Memorial Day, baby.
Listen, we had a couple of months. Fucking Katrina's cousin Maria. The other one, Puerto Rico, Houston, fucking Florida. Listen, it's been tough up to now. The earthquake in Mexico, the White House, whoever the fuck is going on. But it don't matter. They want to shoot. It's time for us to fucking shoot, cocksuckers. They want to get down and dirty. Don't forget who the fuck we are. You understand me? We're the baddest motherfuckers out there. You send a message to that fucking North Korean, he's going to be sniffing my dick and sucking my asshole. That's the focus. We're going to North Korea in like a year. It's going to be an island. It's going to glow in the dark. You know why? Because we're Americans, cocksuckers. Who the fuck do you think you're dealing with? Stop with the gun control. They're selling more guns than ever the last 3 days. Stop with the fucking whining. Stop with the Russians on Facebook. I don't give a fuck. Worry about yourself. Keep your eyes open and get the fuck off Snapchat and fucking Twitter, cocksucker. Stay black.
Love you guys.
Have a great day, everybody.
Be good.